Hallelujah. The privilege to introduce tonight's speakers to you who I have known a very long time. Before I do that, I want to kind of loosen things up a little bit. Jim Rivest, what's the difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi? The people in Dubai do not like the Flintstones, but the people in Abu Dhabi do. Oh, that's great. Our first speaker, Justin Repka, I've known since he was very, very tiny. He is a wonderful man that I have seen mature and grow, and I'm very excited to see what he has for us tonight. Brother Justin.
Well, I can say I'm definitely very nervous right now and can't really believe that I'm up here, but I'd like to thank James for giving me the opportunity to do this and to speak in front of you all, and my parents for helping me with everything. And you guys can be seated. But I'd like to speak on a topic of trust. And first verse I'd like to read is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. And as well, Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And I feel like this just shows that God's always going to have your back no matter what he puts you in or whatever he puts you through. He's always going to be there for you, and he's never going to put you in something that you can't get through. And as well, I'd like to also and then go to Job 1:21, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what I take from that is God may take things away, but as well, he's going to give you something back that may be better for you. And as well, even if he takes something away, and if it's a hard time, to still trust him, still praise him, still give him all the worship that he deserves. And God also wants to be your first option in terms of who you look for whenever you, I guess, come up against a wall. And I see that in terms of sports, I guess, in basketball, on a basketball team. Like for the Lakers example, LeBron James just went to the Lakers. In most situations, he's going to be the first option they look for in getting a last-minute bucket, whatnot. They're going to look for him to, I guess, come out and help the team the most. As well as in football, in terms of wide receivers, they're always going to have that number one wide receiver that they're going to look for before they look for anybody else. And even in sports, which an individual sport, there's always going to be one move that you pick to go to before anything else. And I feel that we shouldn't, I guess, go towards another person or a friend or look to something to help us cope or whatnot. God should be our first thing that we look to for help. And I know in my own life, I haven't always done that. I know recently a lot of things have happened in the past couple months where I have to just, I guess, trust God because it's completely out of my control. I can't do anything about it, and I just have to kind of sit back and, I guess, enjoy the ride and let God do what he does. So I feel that that's really important, and patience is something that I do not have very much of. And I know my parents would love to tell you about how I do not have any patience in any situation, but a lot of these situations that I've went through have really tested my patience and tested if I can just kind of sit back and allow God to either work on my patience or work on anything else that I need to work on. In terms of an example, I bought my first car in June, and I had it for a couple of weeks. I went up to camp for family camp. It was running fine. It was the following week, all of a sudden, the engine light turned on, and it overheated. And I thought it would be a really good car. It had low miles. Body was intact. But I guess not. So I drove that around for about a week after the engine overheated, and the engine was running rough, and I took it to a dealership to get a diagnostic scan. And usually most cars that come back, whenever they give you the codes, there's only about one or two. Mine had 8 or 9 that the computer read as causing the engine to run rough. So I couldn't believe it. I was like, well. So then luckily the dealership decided to buy it back. But at that point I was kind of like, I didn't really understand why I would just get that car just for 3 weeks just to be right back on the market looking for another car. And at the time I had my foreign exchange student there, so like I needed a car to get someplace to do stuff. So I kind of put, I guess, a knot in it and kind of slowed everything down. And then I found another car a little bit down the road, and I went in, just kind of pulled the trigger, just kind of went to the dealership, tested out. And at first they weren't going to approve the loan because whoever they were going through denied me. And at that point I was just kind of like, well, if I can't get this amount, then there's not a chance that I get a car. So I was really kind of down, and I had no control over the situation, so I just, I guess, prayed, well, if this is what I need, if this is what you're going to give me, then it'll happen. And if not, then I'll just keep on looking and keep on trusting in you to make a way for me to get a vehicle. And it was a little bit after that, something, they tried a different place or something, I don't know. But it worked out, and so far this vehicle has treated me well, and there's a lot less things on my new car that can break. In terms of, because I had a Cadillac, so that was going to be a whole major problem if anything happened to that car or anything broke. So now I got a lot less basic car where it won't cost me so much to, I guess, fix. So in that term, God took away a car that I may have liked, but he supplied something that may have been more fitting for, I guess, my situation. And going to college, I'm not going to be able to afford anything. So so I guess I can take away from it. There's been, and also a lot of other things in the past couple of months where I've just had to like sit back and just kind of give up on the whole situation, because I know a lot of the times I like to find a way myself and, I guess, do it myself and not have to worry about waiting on somebody else or, I guess, in essence, waiting on God to, I guess, give me an answer or give me a way out. So that's been really, he's been really testing me with that over the past couple months, and I feel that I have learned a lot over the past couple months coming from this, because I was told last year, right over there, while Pastor Roy was congratulating Colin after he spoke, he told me right away, don't think you're getting out of this, Justin, you'll be right up there next year. So over the past year, I've had a lot of time to think about it and worry about it. So past couple of months, God's helped me, put me through a lot of situations where I've had to just kind of let him do his thing and just kind of sit back and watch him do it himself. And it's worked out every single time so far. So I feel my faith has grown and my trust in God has grown over the past couple of months. So I guess what I can take out of this and what I can give to you guys is just, I guess, let God be your first option and allow him to work in you and teach you things in every situation that you go through, even if it may come out a way that you don't want it to, maybe down the road, things will work out, things will be better for you, better situation. So that's what I've taken away, and I hope you guys can take that away too. Thank you very much.
Very well done. You missed one very important thing. Your pulpit birthright. The water. The next man I have the privilege to introduce, I've known for equally as long. He's turned into a wonderful young man, very smart, very wise. And David Updike, if you would love to come up and minister the word, sir.
Just a moment while I have intermission, while I get ready. Hi. Man, this is probably going to be the last time I'm invited up here to speak. I'm taking speech class, but it came a bit late right now. So I do have a joke, if those weren't ones already, just to ease the mood. This one's not by me, though. This one is from Memes for Christ. Anyways, joke... And please raise your hand if you want to answer. Who was the greatest female financier in the Bible? Okay. It was the Pharaoh's daughter, because she went down to the bank of the Nile and drew out a profit. So tonight, my title of my message is actually from the lyrics of a song that I really like. I really like it. The title is "We Are the Change, We Are the Chains That Hold Us." So, you know, music for me, it's not for, you know, I like a different kind of music. I like Christian rock and stuff, you know, loud Christian music. And one of the songs that I listen to is We Are by Thousand Foot Crutch, and that's where the title came from. And you know, it says, we are the change, we are the chains that hold us. Now, just think about what that means for a little bit while I move on. So, these days I hear a lot of complaints. I hear in school, at least when I used to attend school, I'm actually in college right now, but online. But when I was at Sun Prairie High School, I would hear a lot of complaints like, oh, this test was so hard, or, oh man, I don't have the homework done or something. And you know, usually their response when I ask them, well, did you study or something? They'd be like, no. I didn't. And I'm thinking, well, no kidding. And that's why you probably didn't do so well on the test. And, you know, it's not just school I hear complaints. You know, people complain about finances sometimes, or people complain about, trying to get a job or something. And, you know, sometimes people are saying, I'm trying to find a job. And a couple of people, or, you know, I asked one person once at school, well, did you go to this place? No. Did you go to that place? No. Did you go any place? No. And I'm just like, seriously, or something like that. I mean, like, really? So, it's just like, when we don't study, when we don't try to actually look, you know, to find a job or something, we are holding ourselves down. We are making our own chains for ourselves. Sometimes, you know, you might hear someone say, man, I wish we had a breakthrough. Well, my question to you is, are you doing anything about it? Are you being the change in someone's life? I would like to go to the Bible, to Exodus 6:6. This is where Moses is, you know, talking to God, and God's like, you know, he's trying to get, you know, Moses to go tell the people to go free him, and or he says that, or he's trying to tell Moses that God's going to go free them. In the verse it says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Now here, this is a promise that God is giving to Moses. And one thing I kind of, you know, knew already, but never really dwelt much thought on until senior camp this year, was one of the preachers was saying God gives promises, but it's our duty to act upon them. And you know, you might be wondering, why isn't God answering a promise? Are you doing what it takes to get that promise? So, you know, after God and Moses, you know, talk a bit, Moses goes to the people and says, I'm like, hey guys, we're going to get you, or, you know, God's going to get you out of this and everything, and they didn't listen to him. So then God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh. They go tell him, set my people free. And Moses was like, I can't do this and stuff, and then God gets mad at him, like, here's why. And then Moses goes in there, goes up to Pharaoh with Aaron, and asks Pharaoh, says people free, and Pharaoh says no. But that didn't stop Moses or Aaron from going back. And in the end, after the death of Pharaoh's son, the people was set free. Why? Because Moses held on to God's promise. He took action, and he went up to Pharaoh, which eventually Pharaoh did release God's people. Sorry, it's like when you get up here, you're like, I got this for sure, and then you're, when you get up here, you're like, oh no, I don't have it. That's what I'm at right now. Now, there are people in this church, many people in this church, who are being the change. Like, for instance, our pastor and senior pastor, they are being the change. Or pastor and bishop, sorry. We got James and Rachel Novak. They're doing it. Jeff Merkus. There's plenty of other people who are being the change. They are getting involved. They are getting hands-on with what they want to see different in the church or in the community. So we are the change because we have a choice. God gave us the power of choice, and it's not like we are forced to wear bondage, or at least mentally. Sometimes, you know, people can physically push up against the wall and bind you to the wall or something, but mentally we are, you know, where we what we want to do. It's our choice. Are we going to chain ourselves to the wall and say, why is this happening? Why doesn't anything happen? Or are we going to not chain ourselves to the wall and say, what can I do? Where can I go? Who can I be an influence to? Or how can I even change myself? Because sometimes it starts with you to change yourself before you can change someone else. And I also like to congratulate the people who have done and who is doing Project 7, because they and their schools are being the change that they want to see. And it's just, I guess I'm done.
Dave, there's something very important. No. There's nothing that you missed. Something you got bang on. The got it, don't got it. That doesn't just stop at the pulpit. Sometimes that's in life too. got it. Don't got it. You know, it's okay. We're always learning every day. If you're not learning, then you're dying. That's just the truth. So we're going to finish off tonight. I want you guys to learn. I want you guys to learn tonight. I want you guys to grow. This year's theme is more than. We are more than conquerors. Just like you preached. We are more than. It's not just sit back and, you know, be whoever. It's you have to take charge. You have to take action. You have to be more than status quo, more than normal. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to use the old-fashioned Bible, not the new e-Bibles. Sorry. When you're there, say amen. All right, we're getting there. Maybe I'll use a paper Bible. Where are you, 1 Peter? There we go. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. When you're there, say amen. Some of you guys are really quick. Wow. Cheating. All right. 17. Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for this day, for your word. I pray, God, that you would speak to us, guide us, lead us, Lord God. Grow us, Jesus, that we may learn and apply this to our lives. Bless this service, all that is done. Let nothing come in to distract or destroy or take the word that you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. See, I was thinking recently, David, much along the lines of what you're speaking about, that as you grow, or you know, as you get older, you grow, right? I mean, that's natural course of human genetics and biology. Like, you get older, you eat food, you grow, you get bigger, boom, problem solved. And it works the same way spiritually. You know, you pray, you fast, you read your word and everything, and eventually, you know, you grow and you become more spiritually mature as a Christian. But that's not really the case. Because you can pray and you can fast and you can never grow as a Christian. I mean, anybody can pray. I mean, people of all sorts of religions pray. And anybody can fast. I mean, we have eating disorders that, you know, is essentially fasting, or, you know, other sorts of other religions, they starve themselves, and they don't really grow spiritually. And, you know, other religions pray to different gods, and they don't really grow spiritually either. I mean, they have different rituals and things, but it's not spiritual growth. Maybe it's mental growth. I'm not really sure. But it's not really spiritual. See, Jesus said, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. But it's more than just prayer and fasting. Because anybody can pray and anybody can fast. It's the understanding and the knowledge behind the prayer and fasting that makes it so effective. It's the spirit that is in you that makes the prayer and fasting effective, because the disciples, they had the same thing that Jesus did, and they said, well, we can't cast him out. Why couldn't we? It's because of the word that was in Jesus, the word that they had not yet received and understood. Faith is not enough. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Thank you, by the way, overhead. I really appreciate that. Moreover, I will... Hold on. Verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make it so that you should not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He's forgotten he was purged from his old sins. It's the knowledge and the understanding that the Word gives as a Christian which makes you so effective. You couple that with your relationship with God, the infilling of the Holy Ghost and everything. That is what power comes from, because we don't have power. And all the praying in the world is not going to give you power. All the fasting in the world is not going to give you power. It's the sheer will and Word of God. That is what gives you power. All of those other things just puts your flesh into submission so that the word can flow through you. That is where the power and the authority of the word comes from. That's how you get it in your life. Young people, if you don't have the word in you, you are not going to be an effective Christian. It's that simple. You can go into schools, you can pray with people, you can fast and do all sorts of stuff, but if you don't understand the word, when the enemy comes against you, you have no defense, you have no power. When the devil came against Jesus and tempted him, after he fasted for 40 days, I believe I have that in here somewhere. I don't have that in there. But when he came, he said, if you're truly, the Son of God, then, you'll cast yourself down and the angels will catch you. And immediately Jesus, boom, scripture. Immediately. It wasn't a thought, it wasn't a prayer, it was just the Word of God, boom. Word of God, boom, 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 every time. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I never understood that as a young person. I was like, okay, faith comes by hearing, and by the Word of God. It's the Word of God, but it's not faith comes by what you heard. It's hearing as present tense, as a young person. So It's not that you can just come to church and read the Bible and memorize the scripture and expect that that's going to hold you through the whole week and that makes you a better Christian, because by the time you learn that scripture in one day, the next day the devil already has a plan of attack that is running in your life to destroy you, to trip you up. You need to be constantly growing in the Word of God. Growth and sensitivity to God happens in prayer. Understanding happens in the Word. Psalm 119:130 says, "The entrance of thy words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple." As a young person, I never understood why we did what we did. It was just come to church, you raise your hands, you worship, you do all this because that's what everybody else is doing and that's what they tell us we're supposed to do, so I'm going to do it. But there's a scripture that backs up everything we do in this church. And it needs to be that way in your life. If you're doing stuff in your life and you can't find a reason in the scripture why you're doing it, you probably don't need to do it. This is why actions without understanding turns into tradition, which unfortunately is what a lot of religions in the world now have, a bunch of traditions. A bunch of actions that's been passed down from generation to generation to generation. They don't have the understanding anymore. They've lost it. So it just becomes a vain tradition. Jesus warns very clearly against the vain traditions of men. That's not what your relationship with God is supposed to be. Seth, you're in Bible quizzing. I commend you. Having the Word, hiding it in your heart, growing, understanding, that is the way that you grow as a Christian. Prayer, fasting, that helps to grow and it helps to get you more sensitive. But to put meat on the bones, you need to understand the Word of God. Let's go to Acts. Because we as a church, we know that Acts 2:38 is one of the foundational scriptures that we believe. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. So, Acts 1, the establishment of the church. I'm not going to read all this. I'm going to kind of paraphrase. "Former treaty have I made to you that you should follow the commandments given to the apostles." Shows Jesus alive by many infallible proofs. Then Jesus says, "But wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard of me. For John baptized with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.'" That's words that proceed out of the mouth of God. That is scripture. That's a promise. They said, "Lord, will you restore the kingdom of Israel?" He says, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons of which the Father has put in his power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, to the utmost parts of the earth." So the word went forth to the apostles. The apostles got it. They said, "This is what Jesus is going to promise to us." Then they replace some apostles. Then we go into Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts chapter 1, it's the word went forth. The promises were set out. The scripture was laid down. Acts chapter 2, scripture is fulfilled. Now, verse 5, "There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because every man heard them speak in their own language, and they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, 'Are not all these which speak Galileans? How do we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia," all these other things I can't pronounce. "And they were all amazed. And they said, 'What does this mean?' And others mocking, they said, 'These men are full of new wine.'" So the word went forth to the apostles and it came true and it was fulfilled. But then there's all these other men who did not receive that word. And they were like, "Well, what's going on with these guys? Like, what in the world?" And then Peter preaches unto the crowd, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing because it's like 20 scriptures. But long story short, he goes back to the Old Testament, and he points out the prophet Joel, and he talks about the crucifixion and how it was foretold. And what's funny is as Christians, we always say Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's directions. But what's funny is if you go back one scripture, it lays the foundation for everything else before. Now, when these men, these Jews from every nation under heaven, when they heard Peter's explanation, when they heard the word given, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, this is what you have to do. See, you can tell somebody, repent and be baptized, and you're going to get all this stuff, and yeah, that's great, but that doesn't give them understanding. And as Christians, as young people, as adults, we need to understand what we believe. It can't just be, well, let's just follow the word and let's just do what it says. You have to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And that was the whole point of Acts 2:37. Well, it's really 14 through 37. Then when these men heard the scripture, they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. I never memorized a lot of scripture when I was younger. I didn't really need to, I guess. I came to church, I was in youth, I fit in with everybody else, and I did it. But without that scripture in your life, without the word, the holy word of God, without that understanding and that knowledge, your relationship with God will be frustrated. It'll be difficult. It'll be hard, and you'll fight, and you'll wonder, why? Why don't I hear the voice of God? Why don't I understand? And it's so confusing, and that is exactly where the enemy wants you. Because there is nothing, there's no easier prey for the enemy than somebody who is void of understanding. And that's just the straight up truth. You can't get around that. That's why the Bible says very clearly, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God." Have I hidden in my heart? Blessed is the man who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. I know it's simple. Okay, and I know we may have heard this before, but that's the basis of this year's theme, more than. Because I can tell you, David, I want you to be more than a conqueror. And if I tell you that, I mean, I'm sure that, and that it just energizes you, right? That you're just like, yeah, cool. When you train an army, do you just give them a bunch of guns and say, run that direction and shoot? No. You give them knowledge and understanding. You drill them. You give them a book of regulations, rules, and tactics, and they have a full knowledge and understanding of what is expected of them before they go into battle. It's not just be free, because that's how people run and die. It's very unfortunate. They're well trained. They have knowledge and understanding, and as Christians, we need that in our lives. Do you guys understand that? I want to challenge just the youth. If adults want to participate, awesome. But just the youth. By Sunday, I want you guys to memorize one scripture that is something that you are dealing with currently. Just one. But it has to deal with the situation that you are currently in. Okay? Because in my life, I had issues and struggles when I was a young person. And no amount of prayer and fasting got me out of that.
What got me out of that was a continued memorization of the scripture. And then I coupled that with prayer. And when the enemy came against me and said, I'm going to throw this in your face, or I'm going to try and tear you down, I'm going to say, no, that is not what the Bible says. God told me, he promised me, who the Son has set free is free indeed. I stand upon that word as an adult even now today. Young people, that is what you have to do in your life. Stand upon the word of God. That is the only thing that cannot fail. Everything else will fail. People will fail you. Marriages will fail. Friends will fail. School will fail. Everything else has the possibility of failure. The word of God does not. Period. Cut, take. That's a wrap. End of story. That's it. Okay? Let's stand. Musicians could come. If you don't have faith in your life, if you've come here and you're just downtrodden and you don't know where to turn and you've tried everything else, and it hasn't worked, and you just don't have the faith. Is God real? Is God not real? Why am I even here? What is the point of this? The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Do you know the very act of praying in and of itself is faith? Because you have to believe that you're talking to somebody. If you open up your mouth and you talk to God, you say, God, and you're honest with God, because for a long time, as a young person, I would pray habitual prayers. God, help me with this, help me with that, da-da-da-da, laundry list, here you go, okay. Punch card, walk out for the day. But if you stop and you say, I'm truly sincere, if you don't feel like praying, just tell God, you know, God, I really don't feel like praying. I got to be totally honest with you. I'm really struggling with this. That's the kind of communication that you need to have with God, not, oh, thank you, Jesus, for this day. Lord, touch me and just minister in my life. And, you know, help me fit in with people. Be honest with God. Tell him the truth. The Bible says the truth is the only thing that's going to set you free. God's word is truth. That's a two-way truth. That's you being truthful with God and God's truth working in you. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you don't have faith in your situation because you are overcome with everything else, you better dig in the scripture. You find the scripture that whatever it is that you're dealing with and you say, this is the word of God for me. And you personalize it. You stand on that. God honors his promises. There is no way around that. If you need a healing, start looking for scripture that says, God is a healer. God is a redeemer. If you're struggling with addiction, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If you're struggling with perversion or whatever else it is in your life, this is believing your sanctification, that you shall abstain from fornication. Boom, 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 boom. And start praying the scripture. Don't just pray. Find that scripture and you use that as a battering ram and you break through whatever it is in your life. Jesus, Father, you are worthy of all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. There is nobody as strong or as mighty or as powerful as you. I pray tonight, Lord God, as your people pray, as they come, Lord God, that, Lord, you would not be slack concerning your promises, but you fulfill everything, God, in your word that you said you were going to do. We stand upon it, O God. Because we know that you cannot lie. There is nothing, Lord God, that you cannot do. I pray you would minister in a mighty way, Lord God. Meet every need. Be the God we know you are. Expand our faith, Lord God. Help us to see beyond the situations in our lives that might be. And Lord God, turn it into what you have called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray right now. Recasabala.